Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. BetterHelp recently surveyed over 16,000 people and found that while 75% of people believe it's wise to seek support, only 27% of Americans are in therapy, and people stay silent to avoid being judged. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching you with the right therapist, because we're all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/stopthestigma for their first ever State of Stigma report. The latest in mental health research.
It's just hard to articulate all our needs when we're overwhelmed with like the mental load, keeping this child alive. We don't want to like, we don't even know what we're feeling. So we might say it's fine. Yeah. And you guys are like, okay, it's fine. Even though obviously it's not. Right.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. Your girl, Lauren, here. Today, I'm joined by my husband. Hi, babe.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in today. This is airing in like February, so it's the month of love. Valentine's Day, the most celebrated, loving holiday of all time. If you don't celebrate Valentine's Day, like, what is wrong with you? Just kidding. We do not celebrate Valentine's Day.
We do a little something.
We kind of do. I think, like, it's just very commercial. Yeah. I've never been big on Valentine's Day. I think we're more big on, like, anniversaries, if I remember. One time I've forgotten. But when you've been together for however many years, like 15 plus, I don't even know how many years, then it just becomes like, I think, less of a big deal to like make sure you have like it's nice to get flowers, cards, and candy. On Mother's Day, I do like that. It's not like I'm a girl that's like, don't give me flowers. I love flowers for no reason. But I'm all about like, we have to go to a restaurant fancy and you need to get me a card on Valentine's Day. I think it's just like commercialism. Well,
the move is to go.
Consumerism, sorry.
The move is to go out to eat the night, the day before, or the day after. That's the
right
secret.
Where you can get a reservation. Yeah, especially if you're a type B person, like I am, at least. Like I still have an Instagram, and like social media is kind of giving me anxiety because all these moms are already doing stuff for their kids for Valentine's Day, and I'm like, it's January at this time of this recording. I didn't know I needed to think about it.
Right.
What? I thought we just give them like little treats to give to their friends at the school. I thought that's what about, and then, you know, you give them stuff at home, but I didn't know you had to like do a countdown and like a heart calendar of, I don't know. It's just too much.
If anybody's looking on social media and comparing to what other people do, I mean, that's never going to work out. That's going to be bad. You got to do what works for you.
I know. Okay. So we recently watched this movie called Night Bitch. I don't know if y'all have heard of it, seen it. It's with Amy Adams and it's kind of trending right now. So for those of you all who don't know anything about the movie, essentially, I don't know, how would I, without giving anything away, it's about a new mom who was a former artist. So she was like a boss bitch in her life doing her art thing, became a mom and became a stay-at-home mom. And it's about her experience with that. And I will say that like, it talks about motherhood in a way that I haven't seen, as brutally honest, in any other movie, where your life kind of is turned upside down and you kind of feel like you lose parts of yourself, your marriage can change. And it's basically about how she just almost feels like a dog or something, or an animal.
Yeah.
Like she just feels like she's going through the motions and literally just like a slave to her child or her new life in a way.
Yeah.
I might think I'm brutalizing this.
Well, the reason we watched it and we're talking about it is because a lot of the movie does a good job of kind of showing like what that experience is like for a lot of moms.
Yeah, it's and like
the dynamic with parenting.
Right, like loving it on the outside. So I think like in one of the opening scenes, like she's like in the grocery store and she runs into an old friend. She's like, oh, how do you love being a mom? And then like the camera zooms in and she talks about how she really feels, like, I feel like I'm not myself. I feel like I, blah, blah, blah. Like all this, she goes through like this monologue.
Right.
And then only the audience knows this. And then outwardly, she just says, oh, I love being a mom. And like that part resonated with me so much. Cause like, how are you doing? How are you feeling? Like, oh yeah, you know, I'm tired, but I love it. It's like, but there's so much more in those statements that like we're internally, we're not going to give you that.
You want a trauma dump on somebody that's just like, how are you doing?
But actually, now that you ask, So I thought the movie did a really good job of actually realistically, in a weird realistic kind of way, show that side.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I think like, I mean, as someone that's been there, I think that like, that's something that I think our society is kind of shifting with, where the like very perfect portrayals of motherhood is starting to be like, people are like, nah, I don't subscribe to that. At least maybe that's just my algorithm, because I don't subscribe to it. So I see other people showing like what it's really like. And there's still joys, but not just saying, it's great, I'm going to like look beautiful. Like the trad wife thing, like, I think it's ridiculous. I also think it's very satirical. When I look at it, I just think they're doing satire. I never think anybody's doing that seriously, but maybe they are. But I'm just like, nah, that's... girl, bye. But I do think that they were like not responding to that as much and being more authentic with what motherhood is. And in doing so, I just think that like motherhood is brutal. Like you literally either are cut open or literally something is taken out of you. And then you're expected to like, you know, raise this, feed it, all these things and like lose yourself in it. So that's a brutal experience. It's a joyful one. Like there does bring joy to it, but it's not like sunshine. It's like, oh, this was great. Like we literally, people used to die a lot in childbirth. Yeah. So to think of anything other than hard, or to think it's not going to be hard when that's how they come into the world, it's kind of wild.
Yeah, I thought it definitely gave me, the way they portrayed it, like helped give me some perspective about like what that must be like. I mean, I already had the perspective of like you obviously going through it.
What'd you think about the dad?
And with twins. I mean, he's kind of an idiot. I mean, they portrayed him as kind of like clueless for most of the movie, but it did give me like a kind of a little insight or like a new perspective. Not that I was completely clueless like this dude, like the husband. Like, but it did kind of help show like what, cause like you said, it's not, everyone loves their kids and everyone wants, you know, is trying to be the best parent, but there's a lot more to it than that. And the experience of like losing yourself and the balance of like losing yourself to just being a mom. If you're just 100% mom all the time and you lose your identity and you just become only a mom, you're not going to be happy and you're not going to really be a good mom.
Right.
But, and it shows like that balance is important of having like a creative outlet or some free time to yourself or like self-care, like how important that balance is, which I thought was good.
No, I think that's cool. And I think you're right. The cluelessness of the dad really came through. But the irony was that it was, I think, kind of accurate. Like it wasn't like, I play the dumb dad, which is not you. But I play it like, whoa, what's
everybody,
up? Everyone, this is
a
not actually
this is a husband character.
He doesn't like being in my videos playing the dumb dad because he's not one. So I was like, I'll just play the dumb dad.
Right.
The clueless dad.
And everyone's like, oh, it's so funny when she's you. I'm like,
that's not me.
That is just the husband character.
But I exaggerate that character, but I do think that he wasn't really that exaggerated. That's literally how dads are. But to see it on screen as a third person, you're like, that dude's clueless. But it doesn't feel like they're clueless in the moment. But many dads, they're trying. They don't realize. They take us for what we say. There was a couple of times the couple, to give you like context, she left her career to be a mom. And she said she wanted to be that to the husband. And the husband was like, all right, yeah, cool. Don't do your career. And that's what she said she wanted to do while she was struggling. He could see that she was struggling, but he's like, are you good? She's like, yeah, I'm good. He's like, all right, like, you know what I mean, where you take us for what we say, and sometimes what we say, there's so many different layers to that, and it's just hard to articulate all our needs when we're overwhelmed with like the mental load, keeping this child alive. We don't want to, like, we don't even know what we're feeling, so we might say it's fine and you guys are like, okay, it's fine, even though obviously it's not, but it's like, well, you said it was. And so there's this disconnect, I think, in communication, especially when you're in the early stages of like what's truly needed and what's actually being said.
Kind of like at the grocery store where she didn't want to really, she was like, it was easier just to say it's fine, probably does that. And it probably happens a lot with couples. And I'm definitely guilty of sometimes just, you know, maybe being like, you know, thinking,
whatever, like, I said was what I wanted.
Right, like taking it at face value.
Right.
And like not understanding that there's something deeper going on.
Yeah. And I think there was another part where like she wanted a moment and he needs to do the nighttime routine. And he was like, hey, can you get me a towel? Hey, can you do this? And like, these are very easy requests to make. But when you're a mom that does all of everything by yourself and then they take over, quote unquote, or the dad or whoever takes over and it needs a little help. It's almost like, why can't you just do this by yourself? I have to do it by. So it's like this, I do more, so you need to do more. I don't know. It becomes like this, I don't know what it is. Like, not competition, but like there's resentment that can build up, sure. I think, between parents when the default parent feels like they're the default parent and that the other parent can't do without them. Like, everybody needs you.
Right.
And so that part came through, too. So all to say, like, it was a really interesting...
Oh, sorry. And the other thing I was meant to say was that I definitely, like, let's say you or mom has, like, a lot going on in their head. There's stress. Yeah. Everything else is, like, building up. And then if the husband would say, like, oh, it's fine. Like, just don't worry so much.
Oh, my God.
Or just, like, don't stress about it.
Yeah.
Like, I've definitely done that before. And, like, seeing the way they portrayed it on the screen,
I'm, like, twitching.
Kind of like, yeah, I could see how.
Yeah.
Because, and you know, and I, like, the best intentions by saying that, I do want you to, like, not worry as much or not stress as much.
Yeah.
But it comes across as like, oh, it's just that easy. Just, oh, just don't stress about it.
Right.
Like, it's not that simple. So
it kind of reminds me. I don't even know. I don't think we can sing. Maybe we could because you have the rights to it. But just the song, don't worry about the things you can't control.
Right.
Which is a very nice sentiment, but that's such like a dude way of thinking. It's like, hey, you can't control it. Don't worry. Be happy.
Right.
Like, don't worry about a thing. Like, yes, in theory, this is a great thing to live by. However, when a woman or any partner is like, I'm really stressed out, I have all these things, it's like the last thing to say is like, yeah, don't worry, babe. Like, just, I know what you mean, but I'm like, okay, then it's not going to get done. If I don't worry, nothing's going to get done.
Right.
So I have to.
No, I know.
In my head. But yeah, that's a good point.
And like, since then,
timing is better.
Like, since then, you know, yesterday you're worried about a million different things and stressed out about like packing and getting ready for this trip. So I was, you know, but I thought about that part and I was like, let me try to be more articulate with how I express this and say like, well, what's the most important thing or what's the priority that you need to do? Well, let's just try to focus on that first instead of just saying, well, just don't worry about it. Just don't stress. Cause that's just like, that's not helping.
It is interesting because we're getting ready to go on this trip. We're going on a Disney cruise, which I'm very excited about. And then we're going to, like, with your job, he's playing Costa Rica. So we have two trips coming up and then I'm having surgery. But anyways, I digress. All to say, I've been planning for this upcoming trip for this Disney cruise for months. Like, I had to get my hair's did, if you can see it, but I have my hair done, nails done, eyebrows, all the things done, like ordering stuff for the girls I know they're gonna need. I've been like planning all these things, and this is just how women are. And like, I feel like you today are like, okay, am I gonna bring a carry-on or a backpack? I'm like, bro, really? Like, I've had appointments so much. But I was talking to my hairstylist as she was doing my hair. I was like, yeah, my husband's like just now thinking about, what do I have to do for this trip where like I made this appointment?
Well, I've been helping get ready and
prepare stuff
for the kids. But my like personal stuff it's literally just like, okay, let me just throw some clothes in the backpack. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. They have haircuts on the cruise ship, by the way. So you didn't have to do that if you wanted to get a shape up. Yeah,
really?
They have like a whole, I don't know, Disney's wild. We'll see how, I will
get
report back.
Disney shape up.
Disney shape up. Get a little Mickey Mouse in the back. But like, just speaking of like stressful moments, I think I should like name this because I do appreciate how you handled it. But I think I'm very overstimulated recently. And I thought that I would get easier. And we'll get into this a little bit more in a second. But like, I thought as your child gets older, it just, everything slowly gets easier. But I realized there's like ebbs and flows. So anyways, going back to an overstimulated moment I had yesterday or 2 days ago, I stepped on a daggone toy and I was pissed. It hurt really bad. It was a daggone Tony, and I picked it up and I just chucked it, and it hit the TV, and the TV screen was gone. Like, it was
Well, it wasn't gone, but it was broken.
It was broken. It was like a little nick that, like, you know, and it made all those lines.
Yeah.
So it wasn't something you could really use anymore, and it's like the height of football season right now, and the Commanders are in the playoffs and good for the first time in literally 30 years. So it really couldn't come in a worse time to break our main big screen TV that we all used in the living room. And when that happened, though, you could have gotten really mad at me, which I think you did, but you didn't, like say, why didn't you do this? You should have done this. Obviously, I didn't want to do that. Like, it was all a mistake. And so I think you just kind of separate it. But these overstimulated moments, especially, like, when one parent is extra stressed or the other one isn't, I realize, like, taking a step back or letting them have that moment or even, like, tapping in. Like, sometimes with the girls, if I'm really angry or I'm about to yell, like, you'll just tap me in. I'm like, okay, I need to tap out. You got this. Like, just having that, like, sense of, oh, I understand this is not the moment to address what could have been done differently right now.
Right.
And, like, let's take a break and then address it. So,
yeah.
Just wanted to commend you for not screaming at me. And it all worked out. We got really lucky, and our neighbor was giving away a TV that was similar. I don't know how we got, like,
lucked out on
highly
that one.
Favored, but we lucked out on that one. So all was well, but I do appreciate it.
But yeah, I thought it might have been best to have some space.
I'm surprised you didn't, like, get really, 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 really mad.
I mean, yeah, I,
like,
thought
I
it was probably best to
after
to
a while.
Separate.
We're like, wow, that was really dumb.
Yeah.
But, you know, you live and you learn. Anyways.
I think you passed the throwing things when you're mad. You passed that on to the girls.
I know. I think they're just all Aries.
They started throwing stuff.
We have Aries moon, which is, and I've had Aries. We all three of us have a lot of fire in our charts, which if you don't know anything about astrology, you should know. Fire is very passionate, a little impulsive at times. I'm working on it. I'm working on regulating my emotions. I just did not do it in that moment because it was just a week. 2025 has felt like a freaking, I don't know. I feel like I've lived 7 months in, like, January. Just all these things are happening. I'm just, like, super tense. I think it's the world.
Yeah.
It's, like, everything. I'm just, like, I was in the grocery store and a woman came up, or it was, like, CVS or somewhere, and, like, hey, do you need help with anything? But I didn't see her and I jumped. And she's like, oh, sorry. I'm like, I don't know why I reacted that way, but I think I'm just, like, on
edge. Yeah.
On edge. But anyways, yeah, but communication is key. And I think that one thing we've realized, especially, like I said, I thought that each stage of parenting would get easier. And I'm realizing there's, like, a need to recalibrate. Like, newborn stage, we were in the thick of it. And then we realized, okay, you're going to do this nighttime routine or, like, this hour of feeding, and you're going to always change a diaper to give them to me on breastfeeding. Like, we started to have, like, some sort of, like, division of labor. And I remember in Night Bitch, she even said, like, I'm not to ruin anything, but they were talking about their marriage and how things could have been done differently with raising this child. And she's like, I just kind of wish we sat down and really distributed the, like, labor of this whole parenting thing. Like, I wish we had a discussion of what it would actually look like and who was going to take on what. And I think we did a pretty good job of that in the beginning with the newborn stage, but I realized each stage is different. So, like, now that we're at the toddler stage, we haven't, I think we're starting to, like, really recalibrated what's the division of labor, because they are equally as differently, but equally as demanding as almost the newborn stages, but in different ways. Like, we're able to sleep, but they are, like, on 10 now. Like, they are no sleeping. They don't nap. They don't want to sleep at night. They're also just, like, challenging us in different ways and our boundaries. They're psychos. And I think that we do probably need to have, like, a discussion, like, okay, who's doing what? Who, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I've just noticed that is something that could be helpful for parents who are going through different stages.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. BetterHelp recently surveyed over 16,000 people and found that while 75% of people believe it's wise to seek support, only 27% of Americans are in therapy, and people stay silent to avoid being judged. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching you with the right therapist, because we're all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/stopthestigma for their first ever State of Stigma report, the latest in mental health research.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Yeah, because some things get easier and then other things get harder. Like you said, like in the beginning, it's very simple. There's just eat, sleep, change your diaper. But, you know, They're up every 4 hours, you know, so you're not sleeping. But and then now, like those type of things get easier. They can handle some of their own basic needs, but now there's new challenges.
Yeah.
And it just gets more dynamic.
Yeah.
The older they get.
So it's still like a conversation of like, hey, are you, and you've been taking on, I think, a lot of the nighttime routine. And I'm grateful for that because I've just been like kind of working a lot and you've been home. And I realized like that was always our dynamic of when you're home, you do more because you're always on tour, but now you're not on tour as much. So I'm like, maybe we should talk about, there's more of a split.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I just realized he's been home a lot. And so I'm like, okay, I'm milking it. I will milk it. But at the same time, it's like a discussion of like, who's taking them to daycare? Who's doing this nighttime routine? If they cry in the middle of the night, who's waking up? Like I normally get up in the morning a lot easier than him, but like maybe it's like, hey, on this day, Saturdays, I'd like to have a sleep-in day. And you do anything. But like having that discussion like is just the way to prevent. I have a whole resentment episode we did last season, which I highly recommend listening to. But like that's how you prevent resentment. It's just communicate before you feel resentful. And if you do feel resentment, it's on you because you didn't communicate what you were.
This is just a random thing that I don't know if it necessarily has to do with this specifically, but I just don't want to forget.
Yeah.
We need to do more like one-on-one days with them.
Yeah.
Like you take one of them and I'll take the other one and just do something.
Yeah.
Because I just wanted to bring it up so I didn't forget. But we, because it's pretty rare that happens.
Yeah.
And apparently that's apparently good for twins to do.
Yeah.
To like bond with a parent one-on-one.
And they really love it. There's been some times that it's just organically happened because it's honestly
like doctor's appointments.
Yeah. When like Shiloh has like a doctor appointment or a surgery or ever sick and Shiloh's not like, we just organically split up that way. And like, we always frame it as like, I'm like, it's mommy and every day. And
Right. It's
so exciting,
right.
Even though we're just going to the doctor.
Yeah.
And like, they really do love that. And yeah, I think we should.
We gotta remember to like plan that more to do something.
Because... Yeah. And I think we're doing that at least with Jackson. So Jackson's not going on the Disney cruise because he's older and also he can't miss. It's like five days. So we didn't want him missing that much of high school. Cause now once they get into high school and they miss a bunch of days, it starts to kind of like matter. But instead, because you're playing in Costa Rica, we were like, we need to do something with Jackson. Like, I don't want him to feel like he's left out. So we're just bringing Jackson to Costa Rica, just the three of us, even though you're playing a show, but like, we're going to have days off just with him, where I realize with all your kids, regardless of twins, having alone time with that child, even if it was just like, it's good to have one-on-one with each time,
yeah.
child, but it's also cool to have two parents with one child, if you're able to.
Right.
And that's just how we started. So I'm excited to do that with him because I do think like when all the kids are there, the dynamic just shifts of the family. Like
right.
It just naturally does. So
sure.
You just get like so much more quality time
and
when you're doing one-on-one.
What I think made me think of it is it's so much easier just dealing
so
with one kid.
Easier with just one.
I'm like, wow,
oh
this
gosh.
Is what's going on here.
Someone
this
made
is
this
so
analogy.
Easy.
I think I saw it on someone. I don't even know on social media, but like someone was saying, one kid when you have zero kids feels like 1,000 kids.
Right.
Then when you have two kids, one kid feels like one kid. Like when you have the like concept, like you have
you
the perception
to,
of two,
yeah, sure.
and having one kid, so it feels like having one kid. And then when you have three or more kids, one kid feels like no kids. It like feels like you
right.
have nothing to do. It's like I can do this with my sleep. Like there's no responsibility. So that was
got through it.
That
Good
was
job.
The analogy.
I agree with that.
You know what I mean?
I mean
like once you could, if I
it's
just
all relative,
right?
You know,
it's all relative, and that also says like if you don't have kids and then you have one and you're struggling with one, that's normal. Like you weren't used to taking care of yourself. Now somebody else comes before you in some ways. So yeah, I thought that was a pretty good analogy. But speaking of like spending quality time, which is a love language, I want to talk about in this month of love a little bit about love languages. So mine, of course, is, do you know what mine is?
Words of affirmation.
Yes,
love you, baby.
Thank you. I'm so in love. And yours is, well, I think all men are physical touch. That's just my theory, or at least it's up there for most men. That's
yeah.
just what I think. But yours is also acts of service, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what they all are? There's quality time, acts of service, touch, gifts, words. of affirmation.
Yeah, I know. A long time ago, we did the, like, filled out the whole, like, test thing.
Yeah.
But I don't remember exactly what all was on there. But, yeah, basically, I really, when there is any, like, acts of service you do, like, I really feel that.
Yeah. I think it also evolves, too. I think two things can do be with love languages. I think it's depending on your partner. Because I think that you do a lot of acts of service, which I appreciate it way more now as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Than I did before. But then also because that's your love language and you, like, he's neater than me, y'all. I think you're type A. I think I'm type B. But, like, you clean all the time regardless. I think, like, you like that orderly structure. So because you do that all the time, I'm like, I want more words, if that makes sense. Because, like, I get that from you. I don't know if that's, like, selfish or what, but, like, I'm like, because you're a partner that embodies this already, I don't need it. So I'm like, this is my love language maybe with you, but maybe if with someone else, it'd be like, they never do this, so I want that. Does that make sense?
Because
you're less about the words as much, but you try for me.
Exactly.
And then I think, like, I try to do access. You always notice when I do access of service. I do realize that. Like, I'm like, oh, I guess I should do more because I notice every single time. I mean, but everything I do is an act of service, but, like, I think going
outside
out of
the norm.
Yeah, outside, like, of the normal thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do think love languages, if you have a partner, that is something that could be helpful. I wouldn't take it as, like, the Bible, but I do think it has, it's just, like, a way to understand each other about how you like to receive love. And the way you like to receive love and the way you are receiving love could be two different things. Like, my mom is a gift giver. I think that's how she...
You mean the way you like to receive love and the way you show love?
Yeah, it could be different. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, I am really good at giving gifts, but and I like giving gifts, but I don't need
gifts. But
you're
not all about getting gifts.
Yeah, yeah, I'm like, I think I grew up with that. We don't need any more stuff, okay? We need less stuff, less stuff. But, like, I think I grew up getting so many gifts. That's how my mom shows love. And I appreciate those things, but, like, it doesn't equate to, like, if you give me a gift, I'm not like, oh, that's them saying I love you. Like, if you say I'm, like, whatever, or doing a great job, or those words, that's what says I love you to me. And so, like, similarly, like, I like giving gifts, but I think it's just because I'm good at it. But that's not how I'm trying to say, like, I love you. I think the way you say I love you to someone is how they receive it versus, like, what you're showing. You could do acts of service all day, and I appreciate it, but that doesn't necessarily say, like, I love you, like, saying I love you does.
Right.
And vice versa.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But, yeah, I think that love languages, like, is something that, like I said, is, like, really important in, like, a partnership. It's good to know, but it's not, like, a Bible thing. What else do you think that has helped us in our evolution of parenting and marriage at this point?
What has helped us?
Yeah, I mean, or in general, like, if people that are listening that might be struggling, a lot of times when I say I'm going to do an episode with you, people have questions of, like, how do you not resent each other? Or how are you all having sex? Are you, like, how do you, like just questions about twins, like, rock your marriage for sure. Any kid does, but having two just ups the level of stress. It's a stress. It's a stressor in your marriage. It's going to change things. But how do you maintain that love and compassion, I guess, respect? People want tips on that.
I don't know that we're even qualified. Qualified to, as, like, experts, because we're not perfect.
No,
I mean,
no one is.
Like, yeah, we struggle with it just like everyone else. We don't have it all figured out, and we're gonna, like, reveal our secrets to our perfect relationship at all.
But I think there's just this understanding that at the end of the day, like, you're my person and we're on the same team. Like, I think there's having this foundation, like, even if we're, like, at each other's throats, or actually another thing we've been doing, or I want to do more of, and another couple told us this, is, like, fighting in old English.
I'm not doing that.
You asked it, like, if I wanted to say, oh, you're being an asshole right now, it could be like, thou art a knave, right? I don't even know what it is. But you ask ChatGPT what you want to say in old English, and then it just kind of lessens the fun. It just makes it funny.
All right, try that next time. I can't
next
wait.
Next time I want to chuck wait to hear toy this at the TV, I'll be like, thou art mad henceforth. I don't even know how to speak. You have to ask ChatGPT, and then you say it out loud. And I personally just find it funny, and it just alleviates the stress of the moment.
I mean, so I think one thing, though, is that if there's, like, major issues in our relationship, we seem to be able to, like, talk
about
it, like,
stuff
commonly.
Yeah.
And
then
we get in, like, a huge fight about some
small,
insignificant thing.
Yeah.
So we're still trying to figure that out about, like, how to handle that.
I think, like, the way you, like, the couples that make it are the ones that know how to fight. Like, you figure out, everybody has conflict. If you don't, somebody is suppressing what they want to say or do. Like, somebody's, if there's never conflict, then somebody's lying. Like, somebody's feeling something inside. Maybe not. No. Never conflict. Never. There's no two people on earth that just never have conflict, I don't think.
There might be.
No. way.
Okay.
Maybe there is. Maybe there are two individuals in the world that have zero conflict. And conflict could be like, I wanted this for dinner and you want, like you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be like.
There could be like two super chill, like mellow people that found each other and they're just like.
Well, anyways, I don't believe that. But.
It's possible.
The best couples, and I think Michelle Obama said this, is just like learn how to fight because you're going to have conflict. But if you can fight respectfully, if you can fight with a way that's productive, then those are the couples that make it. It's not the couples that never fight. And someone also said that they encourage fighting in front of your kids. Like not like fighting, but having conflict, like and resolving it. I've dated a man in the past who had like this idea of marriage as perfection, and like no one fought, no one disagreed because his parents never did in front of him. So he had the idea of like, if you have any conflict, then you must not be compatible for marriage. Versus like having healthy conflict in front of your kids and showing a resolution is normal in marriage. Like not everyone's like, you know, the 1950s black and white, like, hi honey, I'm home, like that kind of thing. So there's a balance. You shouldn't be like screaming. I mean, you shouldn't be fighting like that in general, but like there is a balance, I think, of having conflict resolution that can be healthy in front of children.
Yeah.
But that was just something that I found interesting. Okay, this is one of the texts I sent you. I was trying to tell you that I don't want, like, don't ask me for dinner tonight. I'm stressed out. And can you figure it out? I was like, dearest Ryan, pivoth, asketh me not, I beseech thee. What shall we sup upon this eve? For mine heart is heavy, and mine burden, and sundry cares. Sorry. I realize I don't know what this means, but then I don't think I texted. I think I was over being mad.
This one's kind of funny.
What does it say? Where?
I entreat thee, good sir, to taketh up the mantle of provision and bringeth forth sustenance for our kin.
So it's like, hey, I can't, I'm tired, I'm overwhelmed. Can you cook dinner tonight? But like, that's what I wanted to say, but I was going to say it probably in a not so nice way. And then I did that. And I think I asked you either this way or in like a nicer way. So ChatGPT can be great for old English when fighting. Okay, anyways, back to our regular scheduled programming. So yeah, this episode was just like about like love. We talked about love, high stress. People wanted to know about like high stress moments. There was something I saw, and we've been kind of doing like if you're in the middle of it, you can tell you're about to lose it with the kids. There's like a tap on like the elbow, just a tap. And that's like almost like a wrestler move, tap in, tap out. It's not saying you're doing anything wrong, but it's like his cue, like I can walk away, take a a beat, and then this person's gonna come in. Done that like once or twice, but understanding how to fight and communicate when you're in conflict, and communicating how to love, I think would be like the two things, which is easier said than done. We definitely don't have it down packed, but we're committed to trying to be better, I think, every day.
Yeah, and I think we've touched on this before in other episodes, but so many of these things come down to just don't bottle stuff up, don't hold stuff in, don't build secret resentment for someone else, because it's never going to end well. Even if it's hard to talk about, just if there's issues, just you gotta bring it up.
You gotta bring it up. And like going back to Night Bitch, it's like you have to be brutally honest with people, like random strangers in the grocery store, about how you're doing, but you should be pretty honest with your partner. So like if things aren't all good, don't say it's fine and then get mad when they're like, you said it was fine. Like, and I like, no offense to dudes, but dudes need to be told stuff like multiple times.
We can't read y'all
mind. They can't read the mind, which I don't understand. Like, I really don't understand that. I can read the room. I can read everybody's mind. I'm like, oh, this is what they mean. Can't you see the energy? Can't you feel the energy? Are you an energy feeler?
Right.
But you don't. So they really take us at face value a lot of times. And I think that's just how they're built. And so it's like, as women or as mothers or as the partner who's the default parent, it's also on you to communicate your actual needs once you figure out what they are. Or not to say everything's good when it's not, because that leads to resentment.
For sure.
Well, thank you for being on today.
No problem.
Maybe we should do another one when we're on the cruise. We'll see, but you'll be back some more, right? You'll be joining me on the cast, that Twin Mama and that Twin Dada podcast. And that's a wrap for this episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. But before you go, let me tell you how you can keep this village growing. First things first, are you subscribed? If not, what are you doing? Hit that subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening so you never miss a new episode. We're streaming on all major platforms, so let's make it official. Secondly, let's stay connected on socials. Follow us on That Twin Mama Podcast on Instagram for short form relatable content, and follow us on YouTube at That
at Twin Mama Podcast for entire episodes in all of their glory. And lastly, and this is a big one, if you liked what you heard today, please leave a review. Your five-star love means so much to me and the team behind the scenes and helps us to keep going. It also helps us to find parents like you who need to listen to these episodes, which mean the world. So until next time, take care of you, take care of your crew, and remember, you're doing an amazing job. See you soon. Peace.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. BetterHelp recently surveyed over 16,000 people and found that while 75% of people believe it's wise to seek support, only 27% of Americans are in therapy, and people stay silent to avoid being judged. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching you with the right therapist, because we're all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/stopthestigma for their first ever State of Stigma report, the latest in mental health research.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.